Got another message about the cross tonight. How many's excited to be here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, God, I'm getting really tired of teaching these messages about the cross. Lord, I mean, come on. Die daily and I die. And oh, God, here we go. Die some more, you know. And I heard him say, well, there's no resurrection without the cross. And he's talking about a daily resurrection. We'll look at what Paul wrote about that in a minute. Then, just standing here, he's been real quiet again about what I was going to say tonight. And then standing here for the last 5 minutes or so, I saw the same vision again tonight that I saw last week, where I said I wasn't ready, but apparently he's ready. And it's a little more understanding on this verse. Now, let me just ask you this question. Does the gospel end at the cross? Like Alan said this morning, you're afraid to answer. I know. Does it? No, it doesn't end at the cross. There's a resurrection that comes after the cross. Now, thank God, if it did end, I'll just be honest with you, if it did end at the cross, where our sins were forgiven, and we didn't have to go to hell because of that, that would be enough to worship him for all eternity right there. Amen? I mean, for me, it would. I mean, just end at the cross, leave me an old sinner. But at least I don't have to go to hell when I die. I mean, that right there is good news. But the good news is gooder than that. Because he didn't leave us forgiven old sinners, saved by grace. See, that's mercy, as Dave has taught us. That's mercy. He had mercy on us as sinners. And he forgave us through Christ, not holding our trespasses against us. But he says, he looked at us, if you'll allow me, it's like he looked at us and he says, well, I don't want to leave them just forgiven sinners. I didn't originally make man to be a sinner. I made man to be the very image of God, to walk in righteousness. He looked at us and says, I'm not going to just leave them that way forgiven. No. Now, here's where grace comes in. Grace says, I'm going to adopt them into my family. I am going to give them a new nature, which is my nature. And I'm going to give them a vast inheritance, like I originally intended for Adam in the first place. See, God is not a quitter. God does not give up. He is going to have his man and his woman. Can I say the bride? He's going to have his man and the bride rule and reign on this planet. Hello, bride. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female, hairy legs and all. If I am a Christian, I am a part of the bride of Christ. Hello, I am Eve. So are you. We're all part of the bride. Amen. All right. Well, last week, guys, I get Sunday. Here we go. Okay, read the verse first. Yes, sir. Luke chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 22 again. Yes, sir. We're not going to stay on the cross message forever. This gospel, what he's called us to is more than to just to die. What he's called us to is resurrection life. And we're headed for a revival where religion cannot live. This revival, the power that's going to flow, the love that's going to flow, the signs and wonders are going to flow, is going to flow through a family, not a religion. And we've got to be purged of wrong thinking and start forcing our soul to agree with what God has said. And it is a forcing sometimes. All right. And see, I touched something. Oh, there it is. Ha! Yay! Reappeared magically. Anyway. So let's read this. Anyway, Luke 9:22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain, killed, and be raised the third day. Now, the other, Matthew and Mark, they both tell what happened at that point. Peter did not like that message right there at all. He did not like that. That's not what his agenda was. That's not what his plan was. That's not how he saw this thing ending. And he was going, no. In fact, it uses a very strong word. It says he rebuked the Lord. Now, if you look that word rebuke up, I mean, he got in Jesus' face and he's going, no. No, you are wrong. This is not what shall happen to you. It shall never happen to you. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Jesus, Jesus, let me say it this way. Did not let his affection for Peter sway him for 1 minute. He actually said to Peter straight, those thoughts, those words that you're saying, those are spawned from Lucifer himself. You're not after the plan of God, you're after the plan of man. You're still wanting what you want. And he turned his back on him. And he said this word, and I looked it up. It says, Peter, you are an offense to me. O-F-F-E-N-C-E in the King James. He says, you are an offense to me. And you look up that word offense, it means, and I had to come up and stand over there, and he represented the cross. And was it you that I had stand, you know, like you're Peter, and here's Jesus? And so Peter was, with that attitude, he is standing in between the path from Jesus to the cross. It's like, no. And he says, you're an offense to me, meaning you are in my way. You are a hindrance to me. Your whole attitude is wrong. What you're wanting to happen on planet Earth is not what God is wanting to happen. Boy, that's strong stuff. Now, if you think Jesus won't talk to you straight, you got another think coming. This Jesus that I find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John loves me too much to let me walk off the edge of the cliff. He will come and talk to me, turn his back on me. What I mean is he will get it across. Now, what, see, now somebody right there, I heard that. You're ready to switch it off because I said he'll turn his back on me. He did on Peter. Now quit it. Quit it. Stop it. That religious kind of thinking is going to keep you out of the revival. Stop it. He will too. He's real. You're going to follow him or you're not going to follow him. What he says is the truth. Okay, all right. I don't know who that was. Apparently they weren't here. I looked there. So. Then he turns to all of us. Now, see, I don't know why Luke didn't record the whole incident with Peter. He just, like it didn't even happen. Okay? So he says, no, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be rejected and killed and raised again the third day. Then he said to, verse 23, he said to them all, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily. See, that word right there is so important. Daily. Daily. And follow me. In these messages, I've been focusing on the cross. Because what's the purpose of the cross? Death. There's only one function. That's where you go to die. And he says you go there every day. Reminds me of a verse, I die daily. Remember that? All right, but now look. Where it says deny himself. I haven't focused very much on that, and that's one reason I brought this thing. Let me read that to you out of the Amplified. See how strong that is. You not only go to the cross, you deny yourself daily. In the Amplified it says, this is Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, and that means in brackets here, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself. Then take up his cross daily and follow me. Okay? That's pretty strong stuff. Disown himself, forget and lose sight of himself and his own interest, refuse and give up himself. All right, now back to the King James. Look at verse 24, because he's not through describing this yet. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life, now notice, for my sake, the same shall find, shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world? Now this is so important. If he gains the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. All right. I'm going to need you again. I'm going to quickly go through the little scenario. Come over here. Take the throne, sir. All right. Here's our Earthlander. Remember the Earthlander from last week? Remember, I'm not going to go through the Linelander, Flatlander, Earthlander thing. But the Earthlander here, he lives in our realm. We face all kinds of impossible situations, do we not? I mean, we pray every week for this. The faces on this prayer box right here. We don't pray every week. We remind God that we've already prayed. We believed we received when we prayed. Most of these cases here, medical science, even modern medical science, has no answer for it all. There's nothing. They have no solutions. All they can do is kind of keep them comfortable, but they have nothing to reconcile the situation. Well, it was that way in Jesus' day, too. They had leprosy and all kinds of these incurable diseases, quote, quote, incurable. So we get the visitor from the realm of God, and this visitor comes and he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. All right? Mike is representing the kingdom of God from the realm where God lives. It's a different realm than earthland. Well, let's call that heavenland. We could call it kingdom land. We had a visitor come. I'm going to represent the visitor since I'm doing the preaching. It's Jesus. He comes. He's born. He grows up and he's anointed by the Holy Ghost. And this is like one of the, this is Peter. Okay. Well, man, 3.5 years, Peter's watching this. Man, impossible cases, people born blind get their sight back, a man born crippled, and leprosy gets healed, and feeding the multitudes, and a woman's son is raised from the dead. And then eventually, Jesus like puts his anointing on Peter, and he says, now you go heal the sick and raise the dead and send them out two by two, and they go and they do it, and they come back, and this works, and so no wonder Peter's going, this is never going to end, this is what I've dreamed of my whole life. But see, really what's going on there, Peter is still an earthlander. Peter is an earthlander. Jesus is the heavenlander, come to visit earth. Now, he's got an earth suit. That's why I went, one of the messages recently was how to mortify your earth suit. Okay? It's this earth suit. That's where the affections and the lusts are. In Jesus' spirit, his spirit is from kingdom land, heaven land. Peter's spirit and all the other human beings born of woman on earth, they have a spirit from Adam, fallen Adam. And earth, see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's called the spirit of the world. They've got the spirit of the world. Jesus is the only one that has the spirit of God, a kingdom spirit on the inside. All right? So, God, it's good enough. I mean, it's wonderful that God gave us the name that's above every name, and that we can use that name to cure all kinds of things, and that's wonderful. But again, Jesus went to the cross to pay for all the sins of Peter, to pay the price. But God looks then after that, and he says, but Peter is still an earthlander. He's still an earthlander. So God wasn't happy with that after the resurrection of Jesus. Then Ephesians says we were, when you believe on Jesus, we are quickened together with him, raised up together with him, pretend like you're seated right next to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Isn't that not right? You literally get born again. Your spirit goes from a spirit of the world to a spirit which is of God. You're literally a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, we didn't did you notice we didn't physically take a journey to heaven and back? But in the spirit, you did. What I mean is that old nature passed away, and this new nature from heaven was placed on the inside of you. Now, Jesus said about his disciples in John 17, he said, the same way the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. I'm sending you on the, you are now a visitor. You are not an earthlander anymore. You're a visitor, like I was a visitor. Let's see now, let's compare. Remember Dave's Chuck the Duck? Remember how the little chicken had to be convinced. So this duck was having a conversation with Chuck, who thought he was a chicken. And he says, no, look at your bill. And he looked at his bill, and of course it was flat like a duck. You know, he says, you don't have a bill like the chickens. You're not a chicken. Oh, yeah, I'm a chicken. No, look at your web feet. He looks at his web feet. I got web feet just like the duck. Oh, my feet aren't like the chickens. He says, now, come on. They start flapping the wings, and they take. You've heard Dave do that. This is exactly what the Holy Ghost does there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, comparing spiritual with spiritual. He's trying to convince Peter now. He's trying to, look, you're not an earthlander anymore. Your life on earth, you have to lay that life down. You're not, that's not who you are anymore. Before, you wanted to be rich and powerful and famous. And I'm going to pick one because I know this story. Oral Roberts, before he got saved, wanted to be the governor of Oklahoma. Well, it's not wrong to want to be the governor of Oklahoma, except it's wrong if that's not God's plan. Well, that was his agenda. That was his earth life before he got born again. But God, God had a different plan for Oral Roberts. So that's what he's saying here in Luke 9. He's going, look, who you were before has to go to the cross. Your agenda that you had before had to go to the cross. And you got to go to it daily. I don't know about you guys. I've noticed all that stuff tries to resurrect. My body has not lost its desire for Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm telling you right now, I find out real. And your soul, if you got to be real careful, it still likes exaltation and nice things and when all men speak well of you and on and on and on. It likes all that stuff, and you got to be careful about that stuff. That all has to do with your life as an earthlander, but it has got nothing to do with your life as a heavenlander. What does it profit if it was to work and gain the whole world now as an earthlander and miss his calling from God? That's what he's talking about. He's going, look, you're going to have to make up your mind who you are. Are you still that same old person, that same old sinner, just forgiven now? Just saved by grace? Are you still that old person? Or are you like Saul of Tarsus when he met Jesus? Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? Okay, give them a hand. Now go over to Philippians chapter 3. Now, Paul starts going through his pedigree. I'm not going to read all of that. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. Paul. No, yes, sir. Okay. No, we're going to read it. Okay. Yes, sir. I just work here. We start in verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the should be circumcision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. When you get a real revelation that you're a visitor from another realm, all of those ordinances, all of those, things in the law become so silly. They become so silly. This is God's covenant with earthlanders, spiritually dead people. You are not an earthlander anymore. You are a child of the living God. You have an inheritance that's hardly been touched down through the centuries. And even if it was, it's an inexhaustible supply. previews. Abraham was God's friend. God greatly blessed Abraham. Amen. But see, Abraham still was an earthlander all the days of his life. Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he also had great spiritual blessings from God. Isn't that right? But did you notice for us, when it talks about us, and Peter says, who has blessed, no, Ephesians, thanks be unto God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And for a long time I was going, that's nice, but I need my bills paid. But I'm starting to get a glimpse of what he's talking about, get to seeing again. When you got born again, I run out of English. It's so good. You're not an Abrahamite anymore. You're not an Earthlanderite anymore. You're not of this world. When you got born again, that very day he blessed you with all that heaven has. All spiritual blessings. We're about to come into some messages on resurrection life. But you can't walk with one foot in this. You can't walk divided. Yes, sir. James, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're going to have to go to the cross. That old earth guy has got to be done away with. And I mean daily. We must be about our Father's business. Now, verses that I've known forever. Seek you first the kingdom of God. That's what the rest of my life, the thing that matters every day. Seek you first the kingdom of God. What is from that realm? I am a visitor on assignment. I'm on a mission. I'm on the same mission that Jesus was on, except he doesn't expect me to die for the sins of the world. Only one was qualified for that. But he has sent us to do the same kind, like Acts 10:38, how God anointed Daisy with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with Daisy. Are you getting this? That's why he says you got to lay down your life. Start denying yourself. The person he's talking about denying, from God's point of view, died anyway. Governor Oral Roberts, quote, died the day he received Jesus. Now, that may have took him a while to get that rascal on the cross. But from God's point of view, that died. And then the only question is, Lord, what would you have me do? We are on assignment. And that life, he's saying, now, no, you gotta crucify that guy, that earthlander guy. You're not him anymore. Paul talked about this very thing. Paul is giving his pedigree. Now I see why God wanted me to read it. He's giving his pedigree as an earthlander. He is. Everything he's listing here was what he considered gain to God before he got born again. While he was still an earthlander and had the mindset of an earthlander. So he says, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, but what things were gained to me, those I counted. Who counted? I counted loss for Christ. His whole identity changed. He is not an earthlander trying to please God by keeping the law anymore. No, he became a heavenlander, a kingdom lander, a child of the living God, whose citizenship genuinely is in the realm of heaven, who is now on temporary assignment to planet Earth. And he's got to lay down. I don't know what Paul's plans were, Saul of Tarsus, before he got saved. He was pretty zealous for everything. I think he might have wanted to be a you know, the pinnacle of the Sanhedrin, and maybe he had his eye on being, I don't know what he had, you know. But all of that I counted loss for Christ. In verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Now that's his whole life, not just his religious life. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Gee, I hear it again. What does it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? All of that stuff that we lived for before, count it rubbish. Count it dung. Verse 9, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, here we go. We're coming into revival now, these next verses. That I may know him. Boy, I'd like to just stop right there and preach about a month. I love the sequence, watching the Holy Spirit as he, through the different vessels who minister here, those two, I think, that Doug Zanstra did, about holding to the head. Holding to the head. That I may know him. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now. I'll tell you right stinking now. I'm trying to get your attention. I don't care what your agenda is every day. When the Lord speaks up and tells you to do something, that is your agenda. Period. I expect no argument from my pinky finger when my head gives it an instruction. If my body is going to function as a body was designed to function, it's supposed to receive its instructions from the head. And that is the body of Christ. He showed it to me because I tend to be a little, I'll pick a nice word. I tend to be a what? Workaholic. That's pretty good. You know, bless God, I've got a prayer plan, and I'm supposed to pray this many hours today. And the Lord says, I'm just going to pick in something now. And the Lord says, I want you to leave right now and take $10 to Susie Q, whoever Susie Q is. You know. And I'm going, I'll do that, Lord, and I got 2 hours and 45 minutes yet to pray. Which, if he doesn't tell you when, that's okay, I guess. No. But if he says, I want you to do it now, your agenda just changed. That's the head of the church. That's really the goal. That's what we're after. That Christ lives his life through his body, which are us. Bad grammar, but we are his body. And if we don't respond like my little, look at this, look how quick. Look at my little finger, see? Wiggle. Wiggle. Look at that. Can you see it? Wiggle. Look at, does it argue back? No. When I get through with prayer? No. I got to go fast first? No, I'm not against any of that. But when, bless God, when the head says wiggle, the little finger is supposed to wiggle. That I may know him. And I may know him. Lord, what would you have me do? God, I'm telling you, that's when life gets to be fun and exciting and scary and wonderful. You start hearing from him. It is. You start just obeying him. Oh, it's fun. Anyway. I don't think our fun has hardly begun. Hey, that rhymes. Don't think our fun has hardly begun. It's going to get really good. Now, notice this, that I may know him. Boy, we all want this next part. And the power of his resurrection. You want to add a little power, you know. I want you to know, we're going to have the power. God. Oh, and that next phrase here. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, my religious head for years thought Paul was trying to pass some kind of spiritual test so that he would qualify for the resurrection at the end of the world or something. He is not talking about that. He is talking about walking in resurrection power, walking in the resurrected life that God gave us. How many of you know you can have resurrection life and not be walking in resurrection life? Boy, did it get quiet there. Read Galatians 5 again. I'm telling you right now, there are the vast, vast majority of genuinely born-again Christians who genuinely are on their way to heaven. They are living their own life, trusting in the blood, and I thank God for the blood, but they are not walking in resurrection life. They're walking as forgiven people who have not. They still see themselves as earthlanders. They still function as earthlanders. And we walk in the power of earthlanders, which is virtually nothing. That is exactly what the Holy Spirit is changing here. You are not of this world. Look at somebody. See, we knew you were strange, but now we know you're not of this world, okay? You're not of this world. You're from heaven, from another realm. And we're going to walk in this resurrection life, but notice it comes as you're conformed unto his death. Yes, sir. Go to John 5. I wasn't for sure we was going there today. Okay, let me do it. John 5. See, now what does that really mean? Deny himself. Let him deny himself. Well, in the total context, he's talking about denying who you were as an earthlander before you got born again. We're not going to win this war with a divided mind. One foot still trying to live like forgiven sinners with an agenda in this world, and the other foot trying to live as kingdom born, heaven sent vessels of light anointed by the Holy Ghost to deliver this present world. You're one or the other. Now, some people will hear this and go off in the ditch one side or the other. He's not calling you to quit your job because you're a heavenlander. No, you still have responsibilities in this earth. You got to pay the bills. You got to raise your kids. You got to have the milk money for the babies and that type of thing. But our whole life is not about that. That's not what life is about. Our life really is about who we are from heaven and holding fast to the head and learning to hear his voice. I love that prophecy that came through recently where he says, this realm where we're going is where the voice of the Son is heard clear. Whew. God, I want that. I want it more clear than I've heard it even up till now, where the voice of the Son is heard clear. Right? Here in John 5:30 in the King James it says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. But why is that? Because I seek not mine own will. He has laid down, crucified, put on the cross, that anything in him that would be like an earthlander will. Like Peter would be before the cross or before the being born again. I seek not mine own will. I have no agenda like that. Well, what do you have, Jesus? The will of the Father which has sent me. Now, let me read you that one in the Amplified. He says, this is, by the way, just so you'll know, this is my favorite verse in the Bible right here. If I could only have one, give me this. Well, maybe John 3:16 and this one. I need two. This is what, and we're going back to Philippians in a minute and see what Paul said. What Paul was on the same journey that we're on. You're going to see it here just so clear. But this is my quest, to live here. I'm not there yet. I want to live here. So he says, I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get His orders. Even as I hear, I judge. And the Amplified adds, and I looked this word up, and this is exactly what it means. I see why they put it in here. I decide as I am bidden to decide. We don't use the word bidden. I decide as I'm told to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I render a decision. There it is. My judgment is right, just, and righteous. Why? Because I do not seek or consult my own will. Now here we go, back to the pinky. My pinky does not move because it has a will of its own. My little pinky on my hand here, doesn't have any will of its own. Thank God my pinky's will has been crucified. Can I say it that way for teaching purposes? It has no will of its own. It has no agenda of its own. It exists for the sole purpose of the will of Gary's brain being accomplished whenever the pinky is needed. That's what it lives for, to get that signal. See, there's some kind of connection through the nervous system that's connecting my brain. And I don't think my pinky hears my voice. I don't think it does. But boy, does it communicate? Is it clear? Does it understand? Look at it. Look at that. See? I can point that way. I can point that way. Point up, point down. See? Instant, constant communication. And he used the analogy of a body all the time. Why? Because he expects us to get to the place where we have instant, constant communication with the head. These days of the hearing from God once in a great while and then going for days, weeks, or months without hearing again, I believe those days are coming to an end. I believe we're going to walk in the same kind of fellowship, koinonia, through the Holy Ghost, the same level that Jesus walked in. Why else would he send us the Holy Spirit? So that we wouldn't be orphans. Anyway, I'm excited about it. It says, I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I'll be honest with you, I'm working on that. Is any of you working on that part? I'm working on that part. I'm trying to get that part to the cross. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose. And here we go again. I'm seeing that circle again, that prophecy that was given recently, where God is drawing the whole prayer center, not just a few, but he's trying to draw those that will go into what he called an inner circle. He says, you cannot go there with your agendas. Can't go there with your agendas. If Peter had not changed, which he did, by the way, but if Peter had not changed, I don't know what would have become of Peter. But he had to be corrected. We haven't even taught the rest of the story yet, how God did that. But he went to great lengths to correct Peter. And if you don't think, you read Peter's letters, trust me, he got the message. Boy, you can read his letters that were written later in life. He got the message. He understood, okay? God is, I see that circle again. See, God's drawing anyone that will come. He's, come on, come on. I want to draw you into a closer, more intimate fellowship. Oh, but you can't, you got to lay that agenda down there. No, I love my agenda. It's my plan. It's my blueprint. Well, see, it's either going to be his blueprint or your blueprint for your life. But it's not going to be both. So he's saying, come on in. All right. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose. I love the analogy of the pinky. That's exactly the way it is. But only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. Okay, go back to Philippians chapter 3. So let's read start in verse 10 again. I'm about to run out of time. Stay with me on these crucifixion, cross, dying to messages. We're coming to resurrection life soon. Start teaching more on that. But that I may know him, this is verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that's where we're going. and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That's the cross. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This same Paul wrote in Romans 6, if we have been made into the image of his death, we shall also be in the image of his resurrection. Isn't that right? We're going to walk in newness of life. Walk like the heaven-sent, heaven-born, heaven-anointed people that we really are. But now notice, he wants to attain to that. Now verse 12, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Well, that's a little King Jamesy. Let's read that one in the Amplified, okay? Verse 12. Not that I have now attained this ideal, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of and grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. God. If you're a part of this vision, you have been laid hold of. Part of it is for a specific purpose. To go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival, starting with one religious city that will spread around the world. That's why he apprehended us. Now, he saved you just because he loved you. But he has a purpose. He has a plan. He put a hook in your jaw somewhere along the line. You heard a message by Dave or somehow or another. You heard it, and through that truth, God put a hook in your jaw and drew you to this message, same for you, around the world. If that's the case, you're part of this vision. You have been apprehended for a purpose. And we're all striving to attain there. But now let's look here, he says. So verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that high calling? Just back up a few verses. He told you, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here it is. That I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's calling us to walk as the heaven landers that we truly are. That's the high call. You have to press towards that mark. It does not happen by accident. Has anyone noticed? Okay. So then I've got to finish it up here. I don't want to leave it hanging. So how do you press? Well, let us therefore as many be perfect. Let me read it out of the Amplified, verse 15. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. Now back to the King James, verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us as an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Appetite. I don't mean just physical. Whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Their mind is still an earthlander. They're still concerned about the things of this world. They're still got agendas. They still got a mind. They haven't switched. They have not been renewed yet in the spirit of their mind to understand who they are, where they're from, and why they're here. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. We're going to have to stop there. Listen, one of the things he says in here is you have to stop looking at the past. He says you have to let go of the past and turn and reach for those things that are ahead. The devil will have you looking back at every failure that ever happened from the time you came out of your mama's womb. You are not even that person anymore. You are not that person anymore. Yeah, but I failed last week. You ever hear 1 John 1:9? Thank God for the blood that we can confess our sins, and He is faithful to forgive us, and not only forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. I got to quit. The gospel is so good, it's hard to stop. We are heavenlanders on temporary assignment to a fallen planet to accomplish the will of our Lord while we're here. Amen? Amen. All right, I really got to quit.